둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can I have 5 minutes to work on my hair?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, of course, for making your way here and checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you get to keep up with all the interviews that we put out every week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can do so at any of the places you get podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of the guests that have been on recently include Slater Kinney. We had Jack Antonoff of Bleachers. He dropped by. Actor Peter Capaldi and Tom Mucci stopped in to discuss Criminal Records. Let's see. McKenna Grace was here. She's in the new Ghostbusters movies. Janelle Monáe, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Dolly Parton. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And a huge favor while you're subscribing, give the series a rating and leave a comment wherever you're listening from. That's one of the best things you can do to help a podcast like this out. Rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, so excited, going to be talking with actor Michael Shannon and musician Jason Narduzzi. They are on tour together with a full band covering REM's Murmur in full for its 40th anniversary. Now, of course, Michael Shannon, you know from, geez, there's so many movies I could pick from, The Shape of Water, Revolutionary Road, most recently with George and Tammy. Jason Narduzzi, he spends time with Bob Mould and Superchunk. He's got his own thing called Split Single, which I'm a huge fan of. We're going to discuss why they decided to cover the classic 1983 LP Murmur, how they found the album Document as their entry point when they were younger, and how the cooler music would actually find them in their youth. Michael Shannon also talks about some of the challenges of deciphering Michael Stipe's lyrics, while Jason will joke about a few of Peter Buck's more difficult guitar parts as well. The pair will also let us know that they plan to play more than just the debut album. In fact, the follow-up Reckoning is going to get a spotlight as well. And I'll ask about the possibility of Michael Shannon doing another album with his band Corporal. It's all that and more. We're talking REM and touring the 40th anniversary of Murmur. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey.
So here you guys are. You're doing touring. This is the first time you've toured together, right? So this is exciting. But, you know, I don't know if you guys can see this behind me. You know, I've got all the posters and everything. And, of course, Stipe kind of sits over my shoulder. We're taping this on his birthday. I don't know if that was planned on you guys, but today's his 64th birthday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, yeah, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
So it's kind of nice. So for the people who don't know, why are you covering Murmur? Because it kind of lines up with last year's anniversary, right?
Yeah, Jason, Jason was kind of poking me about doing a show and asking when we should do. And then he was the one who came up with it. He said, you know, it's the 40th anniversary of Murmur this year. And not that I've ever been entirely comfortable with any of the projects we picked out, but that one I felt was particularly daunting. I think I was, didn't I respond like, are you sure? Or I don't know.
I knew you loved the band. And yeah. That part was, yeah.
But it was just kind of like, it was kind of like saying, hey, why don't we paint the Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'll get my watercolors and meet you in the garage. I was pretty terrified, but you know, I mean, I guess when they made the record, they were all fledgling musicians themselves. So I was like, well, at least we're not trying to do a record 20 years into their career. Anyway, that's how it started.
Do you all remember, Jason, like for you, do you remember like when this record impacted you? Because I came onto REM a little bit later, but, you know, catching up and hearing about, especially when people found them in the early 80s or mid 80s or, you know, whenever it was for you, but especially this record, like, do you remember that moment for you?
I do. And it's Mike and I, it's the same record. I was going to high school in Evanston, and my friends and I had heard that Madison, Wisconsin had these great Halloween parties. So I went up to Madison, Wisconsin on State Street, and it was crazy. And walked into a record store and bought Document right when it came out. And I put the needle on I put the CD on, and that Finest Work song intro, just, I was hooked within 10 seconds. And I had friends that already liked the band, so I knew that, you know, I probably would like them, but I didn't know I would like them that much. So that record really pulled me in, and I think that was the same for Mike, and then went backwards. There was that eponymous release that was their kind of like wrap-up gift with IRS Records that pulled those songs back in, you know, into my consciousness for the first time. Talk About the Passion in particular was just, I just couldn't believe how powerful that song was. And so going back, there's a number of songs on Murmur that I actually wasn't that familiar with, particularly the last three. And that's just, you know, being a young person listening to records in that way.
Mm-hmm. Running out of, patience.
Yeah.
Or you just like the beginning so much, you just play that over and over.
So killer, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, it was like, so I grew up in Kentucky, and I had a cousin that lived out in the sticks in a trailer, and I would go visit him sometimes on the weekends. My mom would take us out there because my grandma lived out there too. And I would just, when I got there, I'd go in his room, and he loved comic books. We'd sit and look at comic books and stuff. And then one day he had a tape player, and he started playing the cassette of Document. And I was like, whoa, wait, what's this? It's like, oh, it's band REM. So I really, yeah, I have my cousin Tommy to thank for that, although I'm sure I would have found them eventually. But and then, you know, when I was in high school, I guess one of my favorite pastimes was kind of shuffling around, listening to my CD Walkman player. Half the time probably it was an REM CD in there. And, it wasn't like music that you play at the kegger or whatever. It was kind of a solitary thing. And I found it comforting, you know. I was kind of a loner, and it seems to appeal to that type of personality.
And we'll be right back, right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi.
I don't know if you, Michael, know where Litchfield is. That's actually where I'm from, down closer to Bowling Green. And
I lived in Bowling Green for a couple of years. Yeah.
Well, it's just right. It's just north of Bowling Green. And for those sections, and I know you sort of had that Chicago connection too, but for music to find, you know, any of us in the middle of nowhere was always, and it was, it wasn't until really the Monster record, and I was in school, and someone at the bus put the headphones over my ears from behind, and Bang and Blame was one of the songs playing.
Wow.
And, but it just, that's what I started thinking about, was like, especially in those pre-internet days for both of you, you know, for music to find you,
yeah,
you know, and for the right music to find you. I don't know how you guys look back on that, but to me, it's like, thank God, you know, what a great stroke of luck any of those moments could have been for us.
Of course, of course. But, you know, I think that one of the things that's interesting about REM is, without being like country or bluegrass or any sort of Appalachian rural kind of music, it still is very Southern music. Like those guys, they're very Southern, and they're very like, you know, they're still in Athens all the time. Like that. So it's fascinating to me because it's Southern music without being like any genre of music that you associate with the South, which is interesting, but it like, it suits the landscape somehow, like being out in the middle of nowhere, this music, is a soundtrack for that, you know.
When you now dive into it, and Jason, you were kind of talking about, you know, having to discover some songs for the first time, which is fun, but I was thinking about, like, there are moments on here like 9-9, you know, as a guitarist. Like, are you finding those moments, is it challenging in any way? Because I, when I hear that, I'm like, man, what a fun song that is. Anyway,
I think it helped, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was, this whole thing is a bit of a pop-up band. You know, Mike and I have been doing shows like this for about 10 years, and we just pick a record and then we rehearse once and do the show. It's real by the seat of our pants. But there's a lot of communication, and particularly when a song like that comes up, there has to be a lot of communication. And I don't remember who brought it up, but somebody said, it might have been John Worster, who said, you know, I looked up video of the band playing that song, and every time it was pretty rough. And yeah, that gave me a little bit of breathing room where I was like, all right, we'll be fine. You know, as long as we end at the same time.
You know? For the same thing, you know, Mike, Michael, like Stipe was infamous for mumbling those lyrics. And even me, even Radio Free Europe, as I was going back and thinking about this interview, and going, you know, and listening to that song and watching you guys perform it on Seth Meyers, and hearing you very crystal clear in a way I don't think I ever heard Stipe going, I never knew those were the words to that song. Like, did you have any issues with that?
To be fair, I'm not sure that they are, you know, I mean, I'm saying you go, I mean, any record we do, my approach is to, A, listen to the record at least 100 times, if not more. And then B is to go online and do what any boob could do, basically, is look up all the lyrics on like Genius or A to Z. And sometimes they don't, depending on what site you're on, they're slightly different. And then, you know, the third part is just making a judgment call yourself and saying, well, this is what I'm going to sing because I have to sing something. But, it was interesting, even, you know, if you listen to the record, I feel like when I'm looking at the lyrics online and listening to the record, that it actually makes sense. But what's curious about it is then you watch Stipe performing it live and he's saying something different. Like, particularly with Radio Free Europe, one of the things I watched a lot was their first performance on Letterman, where they played Radio Free Europe and South Central Rain before it even had a title. And it's an incredible performance. But yeah, what Stipe's singing on in that performance is different than what's on the record. But, you know, I had the fortune to talk to Mike Mills about it a little bit. And he said, yeah, you know, Michael would things would just come out, you know. It wasn't, and frankly, I think that's kind of interesting, as opposed to some. I think it speaks to where the music comes from, that it's not like a calculated thing, you know, that they're really, particularly Michael was really digging, looking for something, and he wasn't quite sure what it was. And I think that's very brave to go about it that way, as opposed to having it all your T's crossed and your I's dotted all the time.
Yeah, he's very much, I mean, he's done so many interviews over the years about it. Yeah, because he's a collage style lyricist. You know, he looks in his books and he finds phrases that sound good, and those become the songs. And you know, that old William Burroughs sort of way. And I mean, he's one of my favorite lyricists because of that. But it's also hilarious to ever ask him what the song's about, because most of the time it's, the fuck do I know what that's about? It sounds good.
Well, I think it's about something different for everybody who listens to it, you know? I think the songs, I look at them, they're evocative. And what they evoke is really, you know, it's a 50-50 split between what the song is and what's lurking in your, you know, subconscious, which, again, is the kind of art I typically respond to, whether it's music or film or visual art or anything, really.
Yeah, I was thinking about how REM... over the years did such a great job of not only making great records for so long, but associating themselves with great bands and great artists. And so I wonder if in that process, and this was during a time when people released records every year or more than once a year, that they would just listen and go, it sounds good. You know, like not, hey man, go write some more lyrics or something. Like their judgment for so long has been so strong that I wonder if that was part of it. It's like, is this done? Yeah, it sounds great, you know, regardless of like, what are you saying there? You know?
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Michael Shannon and Jason Narduzzi.
And even, I mean, you both talk about them taking chances. I mean, even, you know, one of their biggest songs with Losing My Religion, that's Peter Buck learning to play the mandolin right there. And, you know, can we get away with a riff this simple? Was never even questioned. Like, here it is.
No chorus. Yeah, no chorus even.
No chorus at all. You know, that's amazing. And for what it's worth, so you guys are playing more than Murmur, right? You're playing other, is it all 80s songs? Or are you doing, what's the deal with the whole show?
Well, Murmur's a short record. And we knew going into it that we didn't want to leave people high and dry. So there's a stable of songs that we'll have at our disposal. You know, the first two shows, February 1st and 2nd at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, we're actually playing Murmur on the 1st and we're playing Reckoning on the 2nd. So we're going to learn Reckoning. So we'll have those songs in our arsenal. And we stay pretty far back. There's one song that's kind of more recent that we might play depending on what mood I'm in from time to time, but we're trying to keep it in the early stuff by and large. Yeah, because it's just you know, the thing I was thinking yesterday is another sign I think of a really amazing band is that each of their records has its own identity and sound, and I feel that way with REM. It's like every record is so distinctive and unique. And I don't want to just be like a Spotify shuffle playlist. Like I want to, and I think the other guys feel the same way. We want to stay in that neck of the woods, that early neck of the woods.
Well, I'm excited to see any of this and to hear from it. And I know I'm up against the clock. I want to quickly bring us a bit into the present just to say that, Jason, I love the stuff that you do as Split Single, and Amplificado record was fantastic.
Oh, so thank you, Kyle.
I'm going to hear from more of that.
Speaking of Mike Mills.
Right. And playing with, I have Bob Mould on here a lot. I'm hoping he gives us another Blue album this year, since it's an election year. That seems to be a good thing.
Yeah, that was good.
I hope that stuff's coming up. And Michael, with you, you know, I see Ray Rizzo quite a lot. You think there's any more Corporal in you?
Oh dear. You know, I mean, yeah, Ray's so busy and I'm so busy, and I've had pretty severe writer's block. I have a bunch of songs that are like half finished and you know, I don't know, the fella that played guitar with us, Rob Beitzel, moved out to LA. We haven't seen him in years. I mean, I love playing with Ray. I miss playing with Ray. If the stars align, and you know, the thing about Corporal is it kind of came into being at a time where I was unemployed for a certain period of time. So it that's kind of what allowed it to happen. So I we'll see. We're, you know, Ray's in like 20 bands, you know, he's a busy fella. Yeah.
Man, yeah. Keep himself busy.
Yeah.
Just the same, I'm such a fan of what both of you all do and all of your arts. And it's so fun, you know, to geek out about one of the greatest bands of all time with REM. I'm so happy you guys are doing this. But especially thank you both for taking the time to talk about it today. Seriously, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks,
nice
Kyle.
Nice to finally talk to you, Kyle. Have a great day.
And my thanks to Michael and Jason. Their tour to play REM's Murmur running of February 1st through the 14th. Thanks, of course, to you as well for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can hear all the interviews just like this. You get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on those favorite artists. And discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can grab us at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and don't forget to give the series a rating. Leave a review as well. That, again, goes so far to help out the series here. After that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Lots of 90s. You get, lots of music news. There's bonus interviews. One of my recent shows featured the music of The Supremes, Trey Burt, Cocteau Twins, Air, The Smiths, Mavis Staples, Allo Black, Rage Against the Machine, Ben Folds 5, Teenage Fan Club, Queens of the Stone Age, Wax Fang, MGMT, a lot of Miles, Matthew Sweet, Sparta, Mitski, Blondshell, Boy Genius, and my interview with actor Omar J. Dorsey, as we discussed his new show on HBO Max called Bookie. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh boy. You know, I'm from Lexington, you know.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.